Tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 136 of the Tsunami Escape Podcast. I'm Greg Zeno. Tonight we have B-Dubs.
Hello.
And Seacooler.
Hey guys.
And tonight we're here to discuss our impending doom, because they put a promo out for that thing. It's gonna happen.
So yeah, this coming weekend we're gonna have one full hour Sword Art Online.
What did I ever do to you people?
Hey, guess what? This means that Shield Hero isn't automatically disqualified for having an hour premiere. Oh yeah, bring it. Please don't. Please don't bring it. Please.
God, that's all.
I mean, everyone's joking, of course. Like, oh God, I say, oh God. I mean, I'm genuinely curious to see what happens. I mean,
No, you're not.
It could be a train wreck, and actually, if it's a train wreck, it'll be interesting to talk about it, so I'm kind of okay with it happening. I think I've said this a million times. It's like, I'm okay with SAO coming back, because it's always fun to watch, even if it's terrible. But it's never been that terrible to me. It's like, when I think about the worst shows that have aired on this block, it's never one of the worst to me. There's been, like, way worse shows that were just unwatchably boring. I don't know. That's why I'm kind of up. I'm not dreading it at all. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm dreading another 6 years of Shippuden.
It's only four.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I can certainly wait for that.
No, you won't have to, though. And I mean, the insult to it is like one of the shows is getting like preempted to show this 1 hour premiere.
Well, I mean, it's just Megalobox, you know?
Yeah, it's only Megalobox.
I mean, you know what? That's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, I'm actually more interested to see the new SAO than I am Megalobox.
You don't make this wish on the monkey's paw, man.
it'll be a more interesting show, that's for sure. I guarantee it'll be more interesting. Megalobox is kind of boring to me right now. I haven't really been into it. So.
Yeah, Megalobox. My this airing of Megalobox has drastically decreased my opinion of Megalobox. In fact, I'm going to go re-rate it on Kitsu right now because it's probably too high.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a good looking show, but it's kind of just really painted by the numbers. Really, you know,
seven. Yeah. No, it's more of a five.
Yeah, it's not terrible. It's just sort of average. I think that SAO Alicization or whatever is going to have – it's going to have us talking, and I think I'm excited about that.
Well, that just you wait. Anyway, Dragon Ball Super. Dragon Ball Super Episode 96. The time has come. Off to the Null Realm with the fate of the universe at stake. In this episode, everyone arrives at the arena and talks shit, and then Frieza and Frost meet, and they're like, should we fuck?
Yeah, they were really into each other.
Yep.
Although I think, and having not seen this, I'm going to make a prediction that in true Frieza fashion, they will agree to work together, but then to betray each other.
Oh, that's...
Well, I mean, it's Frieza. You know? But, like, if you're not expecting the betrayal, then you're not doing it right.
That is absolutely going to happen.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it will. Because Frieza... he can't even trust himself.
But, like, he's going to throw somebody under the bus at some point during this tournament. Let's be real.
He definitely gets off on betrayal.
I mean, it's foreplay for him.
No, betrayal is the sex.
No, the killing after the betrayal is the sex.
You know, I missed the first half of this episode, unfortunately, so I don't remember. I don't really know what happened. I caught up about the time they, you know, like some of the Jabber universes started showing up, but then there was also like the you know, whatever that one universe is, where everyone wears red and black.
Okay, pop quiz. Name every single character from all these universes.
No.
You fail. You're off the log cast.
Oh, like anyone can.
I can. Watch me.
You have the list in front of you.
Bob?
No.
Joe?
Nope.
Eric?
Nope.
Oh.
I guess we're all off the podcast. We're canceled. Later, everyone.
Podcast is canceled. Or no, it's not canceled until April when Google Hangouts, Google Plus shuts down.
We got to find a new way to do these.
Well, there's things like Skype and stuff. I mean, they're awesome.
I haven't touched Skype in years.
Well, you may have to. I mean, what else are we going to do?
Hopefully there'll still be like a YouTube side solution for this.
Well, there could also just, now we're getting into stupid stuff not related to Toonami, but we can, there's option like things like Discord and other things probably would work. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it would still involve a solution where everyone would have to record
with Skype, we don't have to do that because I actually use Skype for my YouTube show and we record our voice using Skype. So I'm just throwing that out there. But anyway, we'll get there one day.
Okay. But yeah, Dragon Ball. Everyone's showing up. Everyone's talking shit.
They're all ready to throw down.
Yeah.
Everyone hates Goku.
I wonder why.
Oh, and then that the big guy, Jiren or whatever, kind of taking Goku for a loop. doing the Bleach thing where he like teleports behind him.
I'm behind you.
I mean, obviously that guy is going to be the guy. I mean,
yeah.
Not only is he prominently featured in the opening as being the one fighting Goku, he's also a upcoming character in Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yep.
He is going to be probably the strongest enemy in the whole tournament.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, you guys are sleeping on Basil.
But who's that? Like
12.
He just appeared in this arc.
Oh.
It's one of the wolf guys.
Oh, God. Those guys are back?
Yeah, of course they are.
Yeah, they didn't die.
They need to be the first to go. I hate those guys. And then there's like the three, like the three, like the girl universe that shows up with like the three girls.
Oh, yeah, the magical girl universe.
The magical, yeah, that's the, like the Sailor Moon universe.
Yeah, they're so magical.
So yeah, it's funny how Kaba is trying to be all friendly with Vegeta and such, and is like, "I'm gonna erase your entire universe." By the way, this is a death battle, dude.
Oh, like Vegeta's not gonna wish him back. Come on, he's a softy.
Vegeta would definitely not wish all the universes back.
Well, not all of them, but he'd wish Kaba's back.
I don't think you could do that, could you?
Why not?
I don't know, because it seems like that would be going against Zeno. If you did
fuck them. They get the wish.
Yeah.
Which is more powerful, Zeno or the Super Dragon Balls?
Yes.
Which gets final say? I would assume Zeno.
I think it's whoever goes last.
Oh, maybe. And then Goku was like, met Cauliflower and the other girl, right? That happened this time, right?
What did they say? What was their conversation? I forget.
Well, he the thing that stood out to me is that Goku goes, "Oh wow, a female Saiyan," and it's just kind of like speaking for all the fans of Dragon Ball who are like, "Oh my god, there's a female Saiyan? What?" But he's kind of nonchalant about it. And he's like, "Here, I can't wait to fight you," and then she gets pissed off and like swipes his hand away. He's like, "I'm not here to make friends."
Well, no, she's there to kill everyone.
Insert like. Every reality competition show has a confessional from a contestant that says, "I'm not here to make friends."
You know what, though? I kind of wonder if she is that universe's Vegeta.
No, I think that. I thought that was Kaba.
You see what I'm saying, though? Like, Kaba is kind of like the Goku of that universe.
Kaba is
like,
more of a Gohan.
Yeah, or something like that. Guy.
And Cauliflower's definitely more of a Vegeta.
Yeah, she's more like Vegeta because she's like only interested in fighting, you know.
Well, that sounds more like Goku than Vegeta.
No, I mean like in a mean way, and like I'm going to defeat everyone. I don't think Goku goes around like he's not, you know what I mean. Vegeta's just kind of like too prideful.
I am Goku, the principal Saiyans!
Goku does want to fight everyone, but he's okay with losing. Vegeta doesn't want to lose.
Goku is not okay with losing.
No.
What? Wait. But he's always seems like he's always been amicable about losing, hasn't he?
He
never loses.
Goku never loses.
I guess maybe that's true.
Goku never. Yeah, he only ever draws.
You're
Goku
right.
Goes away saying good fight.
That's what happened with Hit. Yeah.
Well, anyway, Boruto.
Sure.
Yeah.
Boruto, Naruto Next Generations, Episode 16, Crisis, the Threat of Failing. In this very special after-school episode of Boruto, Denki is going to fail the final exam because he can't actually do any practical shit. That other dude's going to fail because he can't read.
Yeah.
They help each other.
Yep.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've gone back to a after-school special episode.
Then they save some kids from a fire and they pass the test because the test was actually real life all along. Real life was the test the whole time.
All right.
Yeah, there's not much to say about this episode. Unfortunately, it was pretty tame and kind of unoriginal.
Class rep has already gone back to just kind of being in the background, not saying anything. Already back to her proper place.
You can't call it this, but this definitely felt like a filler episode. I mean, it's just...
Well, like, you would want to say that, except that the show has been mostly this the whole time.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, like, I think this show has a lot of potential, but it's having several false starts here with, like, plots that are just not interesting. And maybe it was more like we needed to give these two characters some development, but the development they have is just kind of... You're right. It's like an after-school special kind of development. It's not really particularly interesting. So, yeah. And it also was a little underwhelming animation-wise. It's a little bit of old-school Perot dipping in here.
I mean, what are they going to do? Go crazy on the fire rescue sequence?
I mean, I'm okay with this episode not looking bad, let's put it that way, because it's kind of not really memorable.
They sure did run through a lot of smoke and not get overcome. Just
Denki, saying. Denki looked like a freaking doofus with that with that suit on. with that, whatever it's called, the green
I forgot that Rock Lee was in this episode.
Yeah, Rock Lee was in it.
Looking like a malnourished Mike guy.
Yeah. He still had the same voice of like a 16-year-old, though.
It's like him and Naruto where that voice no longer works at all.
Yeah. I was listening to see if he was trying to do anything with the voice, and maybe he was, but I certainly didn't hear it. It just sounded exactly the same. And he's like, "That's what youth is about." And I'm like, "You sound like a youth guy."
He should know what he should just sound like Mike Guy.
I don't know. Where is Mike Guy? Where is Guy Sensei?
Dead. He died.
Yeah. Oh, he died.
No, he actually.
He's fine.
He's somewhere.
He's okay. If you hadn't said anything, I'd probably be like, "Oh, okay."
I was about to think, "Wait, didn't he die?" No, he didn't. He looked like he was in the final arc. He looks like he's going to die, but he doesn't. Anyway, Boruto. Tune in next week for another very special episode of Boruto.
I don't remember seeing a preview for next week.
Let me go look at what the preview for next week is. The previews for Boruto have been terrible. Like, it's almost like they are like, "Oh, we actually have no idea what to put in these."
I remember in the thread, the real question everybody had was, "Who is Metal's mom?"
Oh, the promo is literally they're learning to walk on water, and then Sarada's like, "Why do we invent boats then?"
She has a point.
It's kind of like Harry Potter too, in that like they have these superpowers, but they're just sort of like blasé about it, you know.
Hey, speaking of people blasé about superpowers, My Hero Academia. Did you like that?
Did
you like that?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. But yeah.
My Hero Academia, episode 35, Yayorozud.
Yayorozud.
This is a hard name. I can't say it right. Yayorozud, Rising. Because this is an episode about Yayorozud, it starts off with me, the true star of this episode.
I kind of felt like Froppy was the true star.
They literally, in this episode, say, she's an excellent student with no weaknesses. She's basically perfect.
Maybe as a student, but I don't think her superpowers are all that impressive, to be fair.
Hey, man, dude, where will you be when you suddenly think, man, if only I could spit up my entire stomach on command.
So, yeah, you and her passed the test. That was pretty good.
Hooray!
Sneaking those handcuffs on the multiplication guy or whatever he is.
Clone dude who looks like
smoke,
a bad guy.
Smoke clone guy, yeah. But yeah, the main test was Yayorozud and Todoroki, is that right?
Just call him Icy Hot.
Icy Hot, yeah.
Yeah,
and you know, honestly, even though I feel like this was kind of part of her character development because of the whole, like, she lost the...
Like how they bring up the fact that she's kind of not done anything especially cool yet. Like, she's one of the two who got in on recommendations, and then she has, like, gotten kind of knocked out quickly at the sports festival. Her internship ended up just being a commercial. And Mineta's shitting on her by making her wear cheerleader outfits all day. So she's kind of being like, man,
yeah,
this sucks.
I mean, rough. I feel bad for her, for sure. But at the same time, it was kind of let down to see her so insecure. Like, I didn't expect this from her character. I thought she was going to be more like the honor student kind of, you know, cocksure character. I mean, but she's, like, really, in this whole episode, just, like, it's just kind of – I mean – if you hadn't mentioned the fact that she was recommended, like, I would have been going, like, why is she even there? She's clearly not cut out for this.
I will say that usually I'm used to the honor student character being the insecure one. You know, like, they work so hard and whatnot because they're not sure of themselves and their place and, you know, either the class or the world or whatever. So, like, I kind of feel like it fits. And I was just kind of watching and I'm like, it's an interesting thing to do with her character because she's very obviously talented and intelligent and her quirk is really good. It's just that she's not great at sort of like the indie ploy. Like, she's not the person that's going to go like, never tell me the odds and then do something stupid.
Like, the second her plan A is shattered, she's like, I don't have plan B.
I think more than that, it's like, there's no emergency, like, seedier plants. I'm going to jump on the tank and punch the guy with the machine gun plan. You know? Like, she's not the character that's going to be fighting the guy next, you know, under the airplane. And then when she sees, oh, he's about to be killed, just go like, well, solves my problem.
I mean, the whole thing I got out of it, like I said, is that she's just, I thought she was going to be like every other student in class 1A who would have some courage. And she's like, in this episode, she just spends like most of the episode just running in fear. And it was just like, oh man, it kind of makes me like, oh, I kind of feel like it's kind of messing up her character for me because I thought she was going to be cooler than that. But she does kind of, you know, I guess in the end kind of get some courage and maybe this is her getting over that hump.
Then Aizawa was just like, what? I wasn't taking it easy on you. He totally took the fall.
That's honestly cool.
I will say, I think a lot of this might stem from what happened in the sports festival thing.
No, I said that. I mean, I think
right.
I think this is, it makes sense story-wise. This is her arc. Yeah. It's just that, like, I didn't expect her to be this. I didn't expect her to be constantly running in fear and having zero plan. You know, I just kind of like, oh, God. I think that's her real strength as a character is that she's supposed to be so smart. She's supposed to be the one. And they do that in this episode where, like, she ultimately had a plan but was too afraid to say it.
Yeah.
But like her plan is the one that works.
Right. Like, she was just too unsure of herself after what happened at the sports festival when her plan didn't work.
Yeah, yeah. And what's-his-face wasn't giving her an opportunity to – to say it.
Yeah. Because he was too sure of himself.
Yeah.
He was too sure of his own strength.
I like that the thing she can just pop out constantly is like an entire Russian Matryoshka doll.
Yeah.
That's the best part.
You know what? I saw a video or a screenshot of the My Hero Academia game, and that's one of her moves in the game. It's like one of her super or special moves is that she pops those little Matryoshka dolls out.
Does it do any damage at all?
I think it's like little bombs, just like in the episode, basically.
Flashbangs.
Oh, yeah, they were flashbangs, but I think they're actual like bombs in the game or something.
And then you just like, check this out. It's shape memory material.
Fabric.
Of some kind. This ending is kind of JoJo, honestly.
Well, I'll tell you the other thing this episode had going for it was lots of freaking fan service.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of that in this episode, and it was kind of blatantly obvious.
A bunch of shots that were definitely necessary, yes, sirree.
Yeah. Wasn't there another teacher student battle in this episode?
Nope.
I didn't imagine that. Okay.
Oh, yeah, there was actually.
There was.
Well, excuse. Sorry, Ida. Your fight was just so forgettable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ida and the tail guy. Yeah.
Yeah. They beat this dude in an excavator.
So this actually brought up a question I had. Only the tail guy got to the exit, so only one of the students has to escape for them to win?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Basically, like, you can have one guy just occupy the teacher while the other one escapes, if you can swing it.
Okay. I would have thought they'd both have to make it out, but okay.
Well, I mean, then how the hell are Deku and What's-His-Face supposed to, get past All Might?
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
They die.
Yeah, they're going to die. Well, I mean, he's holding back. He's wearing so much weight. Like, that matters.
I mean, do you think the other teachers were thinking what we're thinking? They're like, oh, man, we got to put two students up against All Might.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, the funny thing is, there's a Class B homeroom teacher who's not – I guess he hasn't decided to make this character yet. But it's like, you could have had him.
Yeah.
All Might.
Yeah. I mean, I will say I think there's a point in using All Might here in that it kind of forces them to work together.
Well, yeah.
And try and get over their bullshit, because I think anyone else, like, even if they weren't working together, the two of them are, their powers are strong enough that even just kind of like being in the same area, working toward the same goal would be enough.
Does Recovery Girl know that Deku has All For One, or that he just has?
Yeah.
Okay. She's one of the, it's like her, the principal, that bland-looking detective dude, and now Gran Torino, who know the full, transference sequence.
Okay. So, you know what? Actually, I take back what I said then, because if the principal knows, then he knows that Deku can potentially go up against All Might.
Right.
I mean, he'll break every bone in his body trying, but,
Yeah, but at least the power is there, the.
Yeah. Like, he's got the raw power to actually win the fight. It's just that he can't use it without breaking every bone in his body.
That and the fact that, like, All Might has decades of
experience.
Yeah.
Right. In terms of, like, the raw power, Deku's ability is technically stronger than All Might's.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's like, if he really could go 100%, then, yeah, he would technically be stronger.
Yeah. It's just, All Might's bigger and has more reach and has more experience.
Yeah. That was a pretty good episode, I think. I mean, it wasn't, like, phenomenal, but it was pretty good.
Well, anyway, Mob Psycho.
If everyone is not special, maybe you can be what you want to be. So let's learn the code that you took on me. Darling! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Mob Psycho 100, Episode 12. Mob and Reagan, a giant Tsuchinoko, appears. This title has nothing to do with the actual events of the episode in a hilarious manner.
Well, I mean, they do go after a giant Tsuchinoko at the end of the episode.
In the last 5 minutes after a bunch of other more important shit happens.
Okay, wait. Yes. Before you go on, though, was that filler?
I don't believe so.
No.
I haven't read the manga. I don't know.
I don't think it was.
It kind of felt like it could be, but all right.
I think it was just like a drawdown story after the, you know, really serious arc.
Gotcha.
So yeah, in this episode, Reagan looks like he's dead, but he's totally fine, and good news, because Mob is about to go nuclear on these fools.
No, Reagan has finally unveiled his ultimate spiritual power.
That was so good.
I love that moment, because I did not know what was going on. I'm like, were we being fooled this whole time?
He said he was the greatest spiritualist to ever live. Like, you all should have believed him. That's what I'm saying.
No, the truth, of course, just for the record, for the truth was Mob was able to transfer all his power into Reagan, and that was why. But at the end of the episode, it did, some of it stayed in him because he was able to see Dimple now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he defeats, like, Sword Guy and Clone Guy, basically, by just telling them, you're dumb.
Yeah.
Don't you feel stupid?
Yeah, he didn't have to use psychic powers to defeat them. He just used his normal talk no jutsu, basically.
Yeah, it's just that he was so strong that they had to take him seriously at that point.
Yeah.
You're just like, are you fucking children?
Like, look at your powers. They're bullshit. I mean, they don't even affect me, and I'm a normal dude.
Why do you have these giant shoulder pads? Well, they're to protect my shoulders. Like, those don't protect anything. You're just showing off.
You're carrying around a toy sword all over the place?
He's the best.
Yeah, that was an amazing scene. Reagan, the huge payoff there.
Oh, I told you he was the greatest spiritualist to ever live.
The thing is, he's not.
He absolutely is. Look, did you see what he did?
He's...
I do like, though, and this is another thing, too, I do like that it wasn't a situation where he never found out what happened. Like, at the end of the episode, he played up, it says he knew that Mob had transferred his power to him. Like, it would have been easy for the writers to be like, oh, no, Reagan just thinks that was his true potential or something.
Yeah, no, like, he's not stupid. That's the thing with him.
Yeah, exactly. You know. It's like, it would have made his character seem dumb if he had never... if he didn't know, but they did do that. They're like, no, I don't have his power anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it was hilarious. He was just batting away black holes and, like, all kinds of crazy bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Man, the voice acting on the leader dude. Disappear!
So instead of being a little kid, it ended up being an old man?
Who is mentally a little child.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they were all mentally little children, you know? Like, they're like, oh, I have psychic powers, so I can conquer the world.
Yeah. The other thing I wasn't expecting, like, maybe I should have, was how much of this final episode was a cliffhanger in for, like, the next season, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's still some stuff that they're going to go through next season.
Yeah, because the kid that we saw who he was like, oh, I'm from HQ. He just destroys Ishiguro.
Oh, my God. Yeah, this kid apparently is next level. And then we also learned, too, at the very end that he's the son of the true leader of this group.
Right. I will say the kid's next level, but Mob's still obviously stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because, I mean, you know, Mob was taking on all three of these guys at the exact same time. And the only reason he could, you know, Reagan couldn't finish the job is because, oh, Mob ran out of power after fighting three separate guys.
Yeah. But he never went 100%, though, either.
Right. It's just one of those things.
I just get this impression that this kid who didn't really do much, I mean, he would obviously decimated everyone.
I get the impression is that he's, like, basically on Mob's level.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, like, I feel like he's going to be close. Mob's foil or his, like, equal or something. Yeah. Kind of hope that's where it goes. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it was really very much about, like, setting up the next chapter at the end of this episode. I thought things were not going to be so much like that. I thought they were just going to kind of close it out here and that would be the end of it. But no, I guess it's the manga still, like, ongoing, or
I believe it's completed.
No, it ended a year or two ago, actually.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it ended before the anime even started its run.
No, because the anime started in like 2016.
Oh, right. Yeah, it was just coming to an end, I think.
So the point is, though, that the story is complete in some form.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they have more to animate, so.
Season 2 is out right now, and it's fantastic. I hope they get it soon.
Yeah, I really hope that this has been the ratings have been good for this.
Well, hey, it was good enough to be consistently top 3 most requested. I'm sure it still is.
Yep.
Oh, you know what we didn't mention in the news?
Yeah, he put out another one of those request calls.
Yeah, for new shows. Like, what show would you like to see?
And then somebody asked him, like, do you have any hints for the new year? What are you excited for in the new year? And he gave his, your standard, like, complete nothing there to.
Well, he was like,
we have some surprises and we're doing a tie.
Yeah, it was more like, yeah, exactly. It was like, we've got some exciting stuff to announce. Can't talk about it yet, but we're also really excited about the new tie. And I'm like, yeah, the tie thing is like. Okay, whatever. But like, I think he could legit have stuff exciting coming because he said that before, and we got things like Mob Psycho.
Yeah, I am expecting to hear more about the Blade Runner thing.
No, yeah. See, the thing is, we're probably getting Scavengers this year.
Oh yeah,
remember that's definitely still a thing. And Attack on Titans on Titans is coming back.
Yep.
And they're probably going to, they will probably be able to go straight into MHA season 4.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, anyway, not to go off on a tangent, but we just wanted to mention that he's talking about, I mean, he's actually asking people what they would want to see as new acquisitions. So that usually means, I think we've always said that in the past, that either means he's trying to gauge which of the shows they've acquired will be popular. Right. Or he's legitimately asking to look for new shows. So.
Did I maybe miss something? I don't know.
Yeah. Did what I pick, is people going to like that? You know, you just kind of see if they mention it.
Oh shit. What do you mean? Nobody's excited for Shield Hero.
Anyway, okay. Mob.
Main character's voiced by Vic Mignogna. What could go wrong?
All right. Right. Mob.
Ranking.
Time to rank it. Time to rank this amazingly well-animated show. Well, I'd say, well, amazing show overall. It was just really well done. And
yes.
Oh, one last thing before we get to the ranking is that the other thing that the episode did, too, is that it put like a little coda for every character who'd appeared in this show. Like every character got like a little moment at the end of the episode to talk about where they are and what they're doing. Even the Body Improvement Club.
Still doing squats.
Yep.
So, everyone got this show ranking list up?
Yes. Yeah.
And C-Color, if you just wanted to insert the list with robot voice.
Here is the Toonami Escape Podcast's top 20 current show rankings. The top 10 are Cowboy Bebop, Fooly Cooly, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, Space Dandy, One Punch Man, Gurren Lagann, One Piece, Hunter x Hunter, Black Lagoon, and JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Battle Tendency. 11 through 20 are Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, Samurai Jack, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Stardust Crusaders, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Phantom Blood, Soul Eater, Samurai Champloo, The Big O, Symbionic Titan, Inuyasha, and Attack on Titan.
Here's the thing. I think it's fair to just go directly to One Punch Man and compare them directly since they're by the same author.
Hmm.
And I think Mob Psycho is better than One Punch Man.
At the same time, I don't think I'd put it above Gurren Lagann.
I would not put it above Gurren Lagann either.
I would.
Like, I think it's better than One Punch Man, but I don't think it's better than Gurren Lagann. I think we accidentally screwed that ranking up.
Well, if you want to say that One Punch Man should be lower, that's a discussion for another time.
Yeah, I know.
It's not. And I think that in the discussion of Mob Psycho 1-to-1 versus One Punch Man, it's Mob Psycho all the way.
Right, but at the same time, it's not better than Gurren Lagann.
I disagree. I also think it's better than Gurren Lagann. I think Mob Psycho 100 is not only one of the best animated shows in actual, like, this decade, it's also just plain one of the best shows this decade. I totally think
it's
up there with, like, Space Dandy and FMA.
I'm going to say, okay, I'll give my piece on my feelings on the show. Without a doubt, probably the best animated show on our whole list here. Like, I don't think there's a better looking show. And I would say the next two best shows, like from a purely stylistic, amazing competence level, would be One Punch Man and Gurren Lagann. Like, those two shows hold their own.
Well, I would frankly take, like, the next two runners up in terms of style and visuals would be like Cowboy Bebop and Fooly Cooly.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Fooly Cooly, but, like, definitely in that range. Like, I'm just saying, like, animation wise, it's top tier. Like, it's in the top five, guaranteed. Maybe at the near the top of top five. But characters and story. So story in Mob, I think, is good, but I don't think it's great. I think it's good, but I think it's better than most shows. Characters are pretty damn strong in this show. Like I don't think there was really almost any character I did not like in Mob Psycho 100. Like, they're all really funny and endearing and goofy, and they were all really great. And I think it also gets props for doing things that other animes weren't doing, like its crazy one, you know, its crazy character design, art style. Like, it just does not look like any other show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really remember the music, except for the opening and the ending. I guess the opening and ending music was good, but, like, I don't remember any music in the episode being memorable. So music is kind of meh. But all in all, I mean, like, there are almost no, like, negatives for this show. It's really up there. And if I'm looking at, like, the top five shows on our list right now, Space Dandy, in a way, doesn't reach the heights, I think, that Mob Psycho does.
I don't know about that.
Because I think that Space Dandy has episodes that are misses. It has hits and it has misses. It's also twice as long. But it also, like, because it's an anthology, I think it comes and goes. The one thing that, like, Mob Psycho has is that there wasn't a bad episode of Mob Psycho. And, yeah, there's only 12, but there wasn't any bad ones. But I would never put it above Full Metal Alchemist, because I think Full Metal Alchemist also has almost no bad episodes, and that freaking thing's like 50 episodes long. And looks consistently amazing.
I would say that Fullmetal Alchemist absolutely has some episodes where you just probably don't even need to watch it.
Yeah, but, like, out of 50, you know, it probably has, like, 5, you know, or something like that. Like it's super small.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's tough. Do I like Mob Psycho more than One Punch Man? Yeah, I probably do. I think it's a better made show than One Punch Man, because the characters are better. One Punch Man has a couple of good characters, but not a lot of them.
It's not as many. It's also a gag show versus a more serious show, so it's kind of like this weird thing where, you know, you don't expect a gag show to have really strong characters in the first place. Like, that's not what it's there for.
Yeah. And if we're not going to reorganize anything on this list, I'm okay putting it above One Punch Man, but I just, on the record, will say I definitely enjoy Gurren Lagann more than...
As time goes on, I like the second half of Gurren Lagann, most of the second half, like Roshi stuff, less and less as time goes on.
It's kind of like that's
also in that show.
Yeah, but it's just such a minor thing to me. And even then, it has stuff in it that I like, and even, like, in that arc, I don't know.
Like, it does a lot of really, really strong things with, you know, characters and theme that you know, mom never even tries to even look at doing.
I think, yeah. And I mean, I am the worst person to ask because, like, I will unabashedly tell anyone that Gurren Lagann is my favorite anime of all time. So I have that. So I can't really be unbiased about it. But we're not reorganizing where Gurren Lagann is on this list today. So we just have to insert Mob Psycho where we feel it fits best. And in that case, I'm okay with it being above One Punch Man, I guess.
Because I feel like in the comparison between the two shows made by the same dude, they're both incredibly animated. I just feel like one Mob Psycho is just the clear winner in that.
Well, here's the thing. Comparing the animation between One Punch and Mob, I will say that Mob is way more creative animation-wise. Like, the animation in One Punch Man is really good Sakuga-style animation. Mm-hmm. Like, in the sense that, like, oh, wow, look how good this is animated. But the animation in Mob is more like, this is a super talented kind of animation where it's like, look at what they're doing with the colors. Look what they're doing with the motion.
It's way more stylized, I think.
Yeah. Like, in a way that's like, you look at it and you're going like, there isn't a show that looks like this. It just looks so good.
So yeah, I'd say it's our new number 5.
You know what? When I put the list up, I'm only going to list like the top 20. Because we knew it wasn't going to be.
No, they must be kept in suspense that it could go at the bottom.
No.
Yes, they must.
I'm just going to put the top 20 because like we knew even before we started talking that this was going to be near the top. I mean, it's just a great fucking show.
It's going to be fun when we go back to have to re-rank Hunter x Hunter, and it's like, well, now it's bad. So it's definitely like, because Hunter x Hunter is going to be like, is it better or worse than Brotherhood?
I think it's going to wind up, so is it better than worse than Cowboy Bebop?
We'll see. We'll see.
I'm going to say no.
Well, I'm going to say that, honestly, and this is for another day, but my feelings on Cowboy Bebop have waned in years that I feel like it's still an amazing show, but I think rose-tinted glasses have an effect on people.
Yeah.
It seems like I'm more excited to watch some of the stuff we've seen more recently than rewatch Cowboy Bebop.
But I mean, that's just me. You can never be excited, have the same level of excitement as your first time.
No, but I feel like also just rewatching, we've watched it like 4 or 5 times, and it's like, I don't know. I just don't. I just feel like it's gone down.
There are episodes in the series that are misses, I think.
Yeah, I agree. So anyway, and there have been shows like Hunter x Hunter, which have shown me that it's like, when are there bad episodes in that series? I can't hardly think of any. It's so good. Anyway.
So are we in agreement that Mob Psycho 100 is our new number 5?
B-dubs?
If it wasn't for where One Punch Man Gurren Lagann was, I'd say make it number 6, but yeah, okay, number 5.
Alrighty then. Mob Psycho 100 is the new number 5 show on our ranking list. Congratulations on getting into the top 10.
Also, congratulations to the Toonami crew for selecting an amazing show to appear on their block, and that I hope gets lots of praise so that they know, you know, that it was a good call.
Hint, hint.
Yeah, hint, hint. You know, there's a second season coming.
Be grateful.
That just knocked the battle tendency down to number 11.
Yeah, there's unfortunately no JoJo in the top 10 anymore, but don't worry, that won't last long. Anyway. Before we get to JoJo, now I have to talk about Megalobox, which will not be a top 10 show. Megalobox Episode 7, The Road to Death. In this episode, man, isn't this great? Everything's going great, and it's all thanks to this fake ID. It's the pillar upon it. It's this pillar of sand upon which everything rests. Wave it in front of your face. Nothing can go wrong with this fake. Oh, they figured it out. We're fucked.
Okay, question. Cool. Maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention, but why did the coach guy punch Joe and stop him from the fight? Why did
I don't know. That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
I think it's because they would have gotten in trouble.
Oh, well, boo-hoo.
Well, and guess what? You don't go to Megalonia, you're turned into soup.
My point is like, if I was Junk Dog, I crawled out of the fucking sewer, and I got a chance to fight in Megalonia in front of a million people, and yeah, maybe they find out that I don't have a real ID, you would have the people behind you. You know, people would be like, oh, screw that. He's awesome.
Yeah, that is definitely the thing. Let's think about this sequence of events. Oh no, he's discovered that we're using a fake ID. He will get disqualified. Like, that is how this ends anyway. He gets disqualified. He can't do the fight no matter what, because Mikio is just gonna go out there and be like, hey, check this shit out. He can't even be here. But right. Then it's like,
so what?
The alternative though, the alternative that it's like, okay, you punched him, and so I guess your alternative is to go back to Mr. Mobster Dude and get turned into soup stock?
Yeah. Like, what did you have to lose? You could have gone out in there and maybe all the people in the crowd would have said, no, let him fight anyway.
Yeah, just Joe grabs the mic and is like, this dude's too scared to fight me.
Yeah, exactly. And then people would rile up just like Rocky, you know, the underdog. But no, instead, the coach is like, nope, I'm not letting you out there. It's like, why not?
And Yukiko wants him kind of is like, at least doesn't want him to lose because she's not sure which one she wants. She probably want neither of them, but it's going to be one of the two. So
yeah,
but she's man, Megalonia's for megalo boxers, not stupid dumbass regular boxers. But also, fuck my brother.
But yeah, she probably has enough pull that she would have been like, oh no. That's not true. I've got his true ID here, and she would have like vouched for Joe.
Oh, that's what's going to happen in the next episode.
I don't think she no. I don't think she knew about the whole fake thing.
Well, I mean, she's obviously just going to, you know, get him a new fake ID in the next episode.
I'm just going to say that the way this whole thing plays out is incredibly unsatisfying, like most things in this show.
Yeah.
Surprise, the conclusion is unsatisfying.
Well, we all know he's going to die because every episode ends with like 12 days till death or some shit like that.
Final episode, Joe dies.
Yeah. Or the final episode is called, like, here it is, finally, he's about to die. No, I mean, like, yeah, it was just,
Gearless
I don't
Joe
understand.
Will never die. Final episode, Gearless Joe falls into a volcano and dies.
Maybe if it came out that Joe did have that fake ID and that he wasn't qualified, that maybe he would have been put in prison or something. I mean, maybe that's why.
No, yeah, go to Megalobox prison.
I don't know. Maybe, I don't think it has anything to do with Megalobox. I think it has to do with, like, the rules of their society. Like, oh, you can't do certain things unless you have a citizenship.
Yeah. Well, and so, I don't think the show thought it over that much. So,
anyway,
like why did this happen? It's because they didn't think about it hard enough.
Yeah, it makes it hard to get it. The show is making it hard for me to care about Joe's plight when it undermines it. You know, by being like, oh no, the coach isn't going to fight for him. He's just going to stop him. I'm like. Who's the good guy here?
Anyway, nobody.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't want to talk about this episode anymore, so I won't.
Okay.
JoJo. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Diamond is Unbreakable, episode 21. Yoshikage Kira just wants to live quietly, part 1.
That is just...
In this episode, Yoshikage Kira can't enjoy his sandwich.
No. Well, mean David Bowie can't enjoy his sandwich.
Because of the stupid fucking shaggy motherfucker and his stupid fucking dog.
Yep.
You know what? I was not expecting the big bad villain of JoJo Part 4 to be cowering and hiding and doing all this stuff.
Oh, he's not. You see, he's. That's the thing. It's like it looks like he's cowering inside gym equipment, but you know that he's He's just trying to not be seen.
Right, yeah. I get it, but like that's even that is just not expected because that's not what I think of when I think of a JoJo villain. I think of Dio.
We've gone from vampire, like supernatural god creature, vampire to salaryman hiding inside gym equipment.
Yeah, like a psychopathic salaryman who's trying to keep his secret life hidden. It's just a neat twist on the villain for this series, I think. I did not expect... I expected this guy to come walking in, strutting in, and being a badass. Instead, he's like, you know, I can't let anyone find out what's going on. So it's kind of neat.
Yeah. This is why I love... I just love this part and this character so much. It is so insanely good.
His stand looks really cool.
It's kind of like this alien cat thing.
Yeah. But it had like they changed the name.
Yeah, it's not Killer Queen, it's Deadly Queen. And the funny thing is they actually had to come out and say it's actually because Katy Perry has perfume called Killer Queen.
Really?
Yep.
That's bullshit.
No, that's what they said.
Huh.
Katy Perry. Queen seems like they'd be cool with it.
And the lawyers act like independently a lot, so
yeah, I don't blame them. But whatever.
Anyway, so Shigechi steals a sandwich, and he spends a lot of time running around the school, tidying the gym equipment, trying to grab the bag with a coat hanger that was there, instead of like actually using a stand because. Let's be honest, he probably did not decide he had a stand until, like, the chapter had happened. It's kind of fairly obvious because it's like, okay, that doesn't really make any sense with this previous stuff, but whatever, it's super fun and we'll go with it. Right? The JoJo style. Hey, it's bullshit, but I believe it.
I could see that Araki knew all along what his stand was. I mean, there's no reason... It couldn't have always been there. Let me put it another way. I can't imagine there being the villain of a JoJo part that doesn't have a stand.
I think this part is already super experimental. I think he might have actually like tried to go with that. Like, what if this was? What if they had? Like, maybe there's even like a ethical quandary there. It's like, man, it's a serial killer, but. He just doesn't have superpowers, so can we just waltz in with superpowers and murder him? And the answer to that is yes, but...
Yeah. Like, it would have been interesting if, you know, he didn't actually have superpowers.
I will admit that for the first half of the episode, or like two-thirds of the episode, I kind of felt like it was going that way.
Yeah.
But then at the very end, he pulls it out, and we don't know what it does yet. He hasn't shown off... I guess that's for next week, but yeah. He's got a power of some sort, so the little pointy haired kid or pointy bald kid.
I love that when he's revealed, he's just like, I guess I'll give you my entire Tinder profile because you're gonna die.
Yeah, it's like I'm watching it and this kid is too stupid to know that he should be running right now because I'm like, the bad guy doesn't tell you all this stuff unless, you know, that's it for you. Unless you're about to die.
Yep. Shigechi is fucked.
Yeah, he ain't making it out of this.
Nope. He's the perfect character to kill off because it's like he was just recently introduced. He's not actually a main character, but you're familiar enough to know that he would be killed. So.
Yeah.
But you want to know how you know Kira's a true villain? He ruins a sandwich and then takes a different one.
What about the scene where he takes his beloved hand and pushes it into that?
That's what I'm saying.
And then like licks the fingers.
So you do have to kind of suspend your disbelief a little bit that this dude could get away with this in this actually open bakery with people. Like I kind of did just say earlier before we went on, like, Promised Neverland does this bad thing where people talk aloud. Instead of internal monologue, but here's Kira just talking aloud to this hand inside this bakery, and it's like, somebody should notice this, but...
Yeah, I think it's the same thing I said, too, where it's like, I think you're supposed to... It's not shown, but you're supposed to get the impression that the character's checked. to make sure that no one was looking, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and it's also kind of like how many people do take notice of the weird guy in the bakery?
The thing is, he's not that weird. I mean, he's like this handsome dude, you know? Yeah. Even in the episode, like there were the three coworkers trying to ask him out, you know?
And he's just like, I'm sorry, I have to go deliver these documents.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've got a prior meeting. Oh, by the way, I can't secretly tell you that I am in love with disembodied hands.
So is DC Douglas just kind of automatically in our top three at the end of the year for best voice actor?
Depends.
I think it remains to be seen. But like he did in this one episode, he was very good. I will say, so far he's pretty good. I mean, I did see a lot of people posting in the thread saying, like, this is voice is perfect.
Yeah. I liked the entire last scene was just Albert Wesker threatening the shit out of Monokuma.
Oh, that little kid is the same voice as Monokuma?
Yep.
Oh, God.
Oh, you know what? I've never played those games, but when you say that, now I totally hear it. Huh.
Anyway, Black Clover. Oh, Black Clover. Black Clover, episode 55, a man named Fanzel. In this episode, this dude from a light novel, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Who was making it necessary that this guy constantly be naked?
I don't know.
The guys who made it necessary for Ghost to be a character.
Like, that's this guy's shtick, right? That's his joke, is that he's just constantly undressed.
Looks like it.
Like, how many stupid decisions can you make as a mangaka?
All of them.
What a dumb idea.
Hey, no, this isn't even... This is, remember, light novel character.
Right, so it's not even...
Wait, what does that mean when you say that? What does that mean when you say that?
This character means another introduced in a light novel, in a spin-off light novel.
And written by someone else.
And then they just kind of crowbarred him in here, and it's like, you're supposed to know who this is, even though you've never, literally never seen him before.
Okay, so because maybe I don't really know what... I never really understood what a light novel means. You mean a light novel is a story, it's like a spin-off story that's not by the original author?
It's like, you know, the Haruhi books?
No.
They're basically like YA novels in Japan.
See, I thought Sword Art Online was like novel.
Yeah.
So they're not a manga.
A distinguishing characteristic of light novels is that they are illustrated with anime and manga art style.
There's a couple of pictures in the, you know, pages.
So it's like an actual, like, novel, novelization of stuff.
Yeah. They'll just take a scene or, like, three scenes and, like, draw a picture of them.
Usually the perviest ones.
Yeah.
And then,
or, like, the really important ones.
And then the light novels are, from what I've understood, at least from what I've heard about them, is that they are often kind of like... more risque and, you know.
It's the Japanese YA stuff, you know?
Okay.
Isekai is the equivalent of post-apocalyptic young adult fiction.
Yes, it's like their Twilight, their Harry Potter,
Games. That's extremely insulting to Harry Potter and, honestly, Hunger Games.
Haruhi Suzumiya stuff
More like, you know, Divergent.
Well, no, I mean, like, you know,
Divergent is like if I wanted to say what's the American equivalent of light novel, Divergent.
Well, no, I mean, on average, yes, but there are some actually fairly good ones.
Yeah,
There's Haruhi and the Spice and Wolf, and
99% of everything is garbage, but that means 1% of everything is good.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's the same sort of, you know, equivalent genre, you know.
So. But to get back to the show, though, what you're saying is that this character wasn't actually in the manga.
No, he's from a spin-off story.
Okay. Which I guess explains the whole, like, forced flashback scene, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like if the next series of, you know, next arc of Black Lagoon decided, hey, we're going to take that character from the spin-off light novel and, you know, put him in here.
All right, well, I mean... Okay.
Yeah.
There's nothing to say about the actual episode, man.
Yeah, I mean, right.
The weirdest part about it is that it pretends that this character was that Asta first met this character even before the Magic Knight exam.
Yeah, and then that's where he learned to use the sword.
Right.
And it's like, sure. That's the worst place to possibly crowbar this dude in there. But
they did it anyway.
Yeah.
And then they like this subplot about this girl who was training under him who turned out to be a secret Diamond Kingdom
assassin.
Person.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll see her again. Never.
We're not, are we?
I don't know. Honestly, we could.
Who knows? Who cares?
Let's talk about Hunter x Hunter.
Okay.
Hunter x Hunter episode 128, Unparalleled Joy and Unconditional Love. So in this episode,
there's orgasms.
Yep. Poof and Yuppie bring the king back to life with semen.
Well, I mean, like, the whole point of the, you know, sort of extended scene is supposed to be, like, it's, you know, rebirth. Like, they're the mom, you know, breastfeeding the kid. And
oh, Hunter x Hunter is into that kink, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, it's sort of like he was killed, and then, you know, he was then reborn.
He never actually died, because when they picked him up, he was breathing. Yeah, he was about to die, but he wasn't dead.
Like, he was 99.9% dead.
And then Poof remembered that the whole, like, the king's whole power is that when he eats, he, like, gets stronger.
Yeah, like, he gains that ability.
So when he eats literally the most powerful Nen users there are, which are these two guys,
yeah,
it just brings him back to full. Which I will admit, I did not expect him to be coming back, like, looking that good. Like, he looked pretty much the same.
When he ate Poof, he was, you know, he was alive, but he still looked like crap. He needed, you know, what's-his-name's ability to, you know, fix his body. Mm. You know, but it's like an extended rebirth metaphor, like, you know, the whole cleansing flame thing, and like, it's interesting what's happened to his character sort of like before and after, because it's like, I can't talk about this without talking about how this ends and God.
But so anyway.
It's a weird episode to just suddenly drop in on without context, huh?
Yeah, it is. Weird. It's kind of one of those episodes where, like, I think any other time I could mostly recommend this to somebody. Even if maybe they weren't that big into anime, I'd be like, try this show. It might be pretty good. But if they got to this episode, it'd be kind of like, oh, wait, that episode's a little weird.
Yeah, like if you just walk
in. It's like, hey, watch Stardust Crusaders, but skip Strength. Skip Strength.
Yes. It's more like, don't make this the first episode you watch.
Right, exactly.
I mean, that is extremely unfortunate.
Yeah, that poor guy. Like, he should have showed up the week before. Or the week before that, or the week before that.
Yeah. But, and then there's this whole, like, subplot about, like, Poof trying to get back to kill Kamugi before the king gets there.
Surprise! Right. It's Knuckle, motherfucker.
Yep. It sort of sets up this interesting thing where, you know, the squad of guys that are left with Killua and all of them are trying to protect Kamugi. Poof is trying to kill Komugi, and the king is trying to find her. So it's kind of like, it kind of turns Poof into the final boss, almost.
How many more episodes in this arc, you think?
Less than 10.
Well, there's actually literally only 20 episodes left of the show.
Yeah, it's less than 10. I think it's like somewhere between 6 and 8.
Okay.
Like it's really almost done. The Gollum stuff is going to wrap up soon, and then after that, this last arc wraps up a little later.
In fact, it is the next arc will start on episode 137. So,
and this is episode.
We only have 8 episodes left.
Yeah, it's literally just about done. It's in the final drawdown phase.
I'm kind of, I mean, this may sound worse than I mean it to sound, but I'm kind of ready for this arc to end now.
It's a very long arc.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
I believe it was like all of last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, it's good, but like at the same time, I'm like, I feel like the major events, maybe with the exception of the Gon and Kito fight. I mean, that's the only thing really left, I think.
Like, there's two main things that are left to happen. Like, Gon's got to fight P2, and the King's got to find Komugi, and that's literally it. That's all that's left. Like, I will say that I think the last few episodes are kind of worth it for that finale, which I very much like. I mean, it does get kind of like a little long in the tooth.
And as far as this episode is concerned, like, it wasn't bad. Like, I thought it was trying to do some creative things of talking about, like, you know,
it's
how
it's going for something.
It's going. Trying to say something.
It's just
something.
A really weird thing.
It doesn't. It's an episode that doesn't make sense until you see, like, sort of how the arc ends.
Yeah, but it's kind of like showing that, like, oh, the King, he's obviously changed, and now that he's eaten these two, it's like that's also changed him some, and it's saying things about that, but and it has this whole metaphor about, like, breastfeeding, pure love and all this stuff, and it's like. Interesting, but at the same time, it's kind of weird.
Like, it's the kind of episode that will make perfect sense once the arc ends.
Anyway, at the end of this episode, they're like, oh shit, the King's coming back, and they all piss their pants in unison.
Yeah, because, I mean, if Netero could... Because as far as they know, like, the King just straight up beat Netero.
Yeah, well, he kind of did, sort of.
Yeah. He survived a nuke.
Yeah. Netero technically lost, when you think about it, because he did not kill the King. Well, okay, I'm sorry. He didn't immediately kill the King. They make it pretty clear at the end of this episode that the King is probably on his way to die. Because he says something like... Or no, they're like... They could read his mind... And then they're like, oh, he's hiding the fact that he's not going to make it or something like that.
Well, like he's hiding that something's wrong.
Yeah, he's hiding something. And it's like, I'm pretty sure he's not going to survive. But because obviously there's no one really left to fight the King at this point. And I don't think.
You've got this, Killua. You can do this.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. So like, it's pretty obvious that the King has been beaten. I'm just saying that like. Netero's plan wasn't for the King to come back.
I mean, no one's plan was for the King to come back. Like, if they weren't already on the way there, it would be problem solved. You know, he would have died by the time they got there.
Anyway, Naruto. Naruto, shipping in episode 235, the Kunoichi of Nadeshiko Village. In this episode, it's another one of these.
Yeah, okay. Basically, Shampoo from Ramen 1/2 is now decided that she must fight Naruto to win his hand in marriage.
Hey, she does kick a mech in half.
Does. Why was there a mech?
I think it was technically supposed to be a puppet.
Oh, yeah, that guy did do that thing with her where he, like, grabbed her with the invisible Nen strings but whatever.
Well, like, I didn't put it together until, like, that happened. I'm like, oh, wait, that mech was a puppet. Okay.
Oh, puppets.
Like that one guy.
He just put it together.
No.
Remember that one guy? There was a guy that had puppet jutsu. Remember that?
Kankuro had it, Gaara's brother had it, and there was the Akatsuki dude who had it.
I mean, there's a couple of puppet guys in the series.
But this guy, oh, by the way, I have to bet you this. This guy did not, he was wearing something that, he did not look like he belonged in this universe at all. Like, he was wearing, like, a suit that, like, a modern-day business Japanese man would wear.
Yeah.
It was really weird. He was wearing like a coat and like he did not have any kind of clothing that matched the other characters of this universe. It's like whoever designed this character, this filler character, was just did not even attempt to make him fit in with this world.
I mean, you can always tell a filler character when they show up immediately because it's like, what? This does not fit. This is blatantly incongruous with the rest of the show.
We did get to see Jiraiya for like 10 seconds.
Yay! Mm-hmm.
And he was basically trying to raid a village of women.
Uh-huh, yeah.
To write his book.
Uh-huh.
That's about right.
Should have gotten arrested probably, but...
Like, who's going to arrest him?
Yeah, he can't get arrested. He's above the law.
Yeah, like he's too strong.
Diplomatic immunity.
Yeah, and no one's there to revoke it.
So, yeah, anyway, it's kind of a dumb episode because it just ends with, like, it's basically similar to the story we got in Boruto where, like, you have inherited my revenge. You are now my granddaughter, must now fulfill your destiny to do this thing. And then at the end, they're like, you don't have to do that. That's okay.
Yeah. Naruto, back at the end of these podcasts.
Okay, I have a dangerous question. How many more filler episodes are there?
I don't know.
Like, more than 20?
Okay, what episode are we on?
This was episode 235. We've watched 235 episodes of Naruto Shippuden.
God. Okay, let me see if I can... Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 more.
Oh, and my then, God.
And then 243 to 256. Then we have 4 fillers. And then a bunch of canon till 270. And filler. And a bunch more. And oh, Lord, that's a lot of filler. That's a whole season of filler. Then, Jesus Christ, that's a season and a half of filler.
Oh.
hang on. It's about a season of filler.
That's okay. You don't have to keep going. I'm sure it goes on forever. Don't worry about
that. No. Then there's 2 seasons of filler.
Okay. That's enough.
2 more.
I'm sure. I know that the series ends with like a year of filler or something like that.
No, so. It's not actually that bad. I mean, it's. Like, there's a bunch there, but...
But the thing is that with Shippuden, sometimes the filler can be better. And so there's 7 more episodes until we get back to the real stuff, but I'm not sure if the real stuff will be any good, so...
I will say that we kind of did pass the best part of the series. Like, there's some kind of hype stuff coming up, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, whatever.
Yeah. I'll never truly care about Shippuden again.
Yeah, like, until the war starts, there's probably a couple more hype moments, but once it starts, it's just one long slog.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this show's ever leaving the block because there's too many people who like it, and I guess it probably is cheap and is easy to get ratings for, but... I'm just like, I'm with you. I'm kind of like done with this show. It's just not even fun to watch most of the time.
Well, guess what? You're watching it forever.
Yeah. I'm glad it's back at the end of the premieres at least.
Well, anyway, that'll do it for this episode of the Toonami Escape Podcast. Thank you, C. Kohler.
No problem.
Thank you, B-Dubs.
Okay.
We'll see you guys next week for... Oh, Jesus. The 1-hour premiere of Sword Art Online.
Please no. Please no.
Yes!
So wait, does this count as 2 episodes or 1 episode?
What?
The 1-hour premiere.
That's just 1 episode.
Okay.
It's
so
an hour-long premiere episode.
So it's still 2 months until, you know.
April something.
Yeah.
Is when that thing happens.
Ugh, God.
For all we know, it may not happen. So we'll see.
Like what? They're going to cut the whole episode?
Well, they'll cut something for sure, probably.
Yeah, probably. Like it's just going to be a black screen for 5 minutes.
I think it's funny that this is the only thing I know about this show.
It's the only. I mean, I know like broad strokes part of what happens and that happens, but nothing else.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like I'm okay with that because I want to go in with it just to you know I don't like to shit on shit until I've seen it you know and so.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is – I have no real expectations that this will be good, but it might not be as bad as everyone's making it out to be. But that scene that I saw was pretty bad. Yeah. I mean, there's no getting around that.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah, see you guys next week for that bundle of fun. Later. Cool. Later.